Begin by being Makir Tov, by thanking all of those who have provided support from Fairfield, where we live there, to New Rochelle, certainly Washington Heights, NYU, to Shalavim. We've benefited so much from those that we've had the pleasure of interacting with over so many years. The support, the wisdom of that support is something which has been immensely meaningful for us. Certainly, the yeshiva, I'll speak about Rav Yammer when I finish and introduce him, but certainly the yeshiva here has done so much to allow us to have this very special evening and to ensure that throughout the process things were as smooth as possible. I'd like to thank as well our friend and family, Zach Frisch, who was very much involved in setting up all of this, and we have much hakar satov to him as well. I'm going to be speaking about my father, but I imagine it should be clear that everything I say about my father, so much of it is only because he had my mother in his life, and so much of what I'm going to be saying about him undoubtedly could be said about her as well. We had the pleasure, as my brother spoke about a little bit before, to grow up in an amazingly wonderful home, to witness a beautiful marriage, and they were much more a unit and a team than anything else. And to speak about one without the other is incredibly challenging. I want to begin with a very brief insight. The Taz points out that when we make a bracha on Talmud Torah every morning, the bracha we recite is Nosein HaTorah. We praise God as the one who gives us Torah. The Taz points out that it's odd that we don't formulate it in past tense, but rather we say it in present tense. God already gave us the Torah. Why say it as Nosein HaTorah, that God is actively giving us the Torah, if he gave it to us so many years ago? And I believe that one of the simpler and more beautiful answers, there are events which take place long ago, but their meaning and their power continues to be so relevant in our lives that it's so fresh that it feels like we're still receiving it nowadays. Torah was given so long ago, but there are always new insights, and the Torah we got then continues to animate our lives nowadays. I experienced the same thing. I remember saying it to my mother shortly, I believe, before my father passed away, that I relate to my father in a very similar way. My father, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but Nosein, I feel continually and actively the role that he plays in our lives, the way in which his messages, his ideals, his values reverberate, influence, impact all the choices that I make. In that sense, the Demus Diukno Shel Avi, the image I have of my father, is one that, you know, if it could be there for Yosef when he was in Mitzrayim. So what times through months felt like a personal Mitzrayim, the Demus Diukno Shel Avi has very much been there. My primary goal in the time I have is to try to give some insight into that element of Demus Diukno, the image of my father that continues to impact my life in such profound and real ways, something which is so unique and so powerful. I'll begin with a short insight. My father introduced me over the years to, I think, literally dozens of rabbinic figures, not live meetings, but speaking about people. I remember everyone from Rashi to Rav Melech Biderman, just the range of people my father over time introduced me to was great. When I was probably 7 or 8 years old, there was a time period where my father was speaking a lot about stories of the Rugachever, the Tzafnas Paneach. And I remember my father even once in Connecticut, there was an older Jew there from Dvinsk, and my father made sure I went over. He said, "This person saw the Chavetz Chaim. He was in Dvinsk with the Or Sameach and Tzafnas Paneach," and it gave over a feeling. Some of the figures more obscure, some of them more well-known, but so much of the world I have comes from him. I'll share with you an insight of Tzafnas Paneach, of the Rugachever, that I think is so apt at describing some of the real unique qualities of my father. He points out that we know Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, we just celebrated Lag BaOmer, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was the greatest as far as the hidden Torah, Torah's Hanister. But he also comes up throughout Gemara all the time as a Tana in the world of the revealed Torah. In both the hidden and the revealed, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai excels. And the Rugachever pointed out that those are not two different disparate parts of who Rashbi was. There was one underlying skill, one underlying quality that defined his relationship to Torah. And that was that Rav Shimon bar Yochai was unable to look at things superficially. He was unable to be satisfied with the way things just appeared. And he had a wonderfully unique ability to relate to reality in a deeper, more meaningful, and more authentic way. Hence, it revealed Torah wasn't sufficient, it had to be deeper. Hence, in general, he plays up and emphasizes the hidden intent and what's not just there superficially, but what is much deeper than that. In general, he had an ability in all moments, be it in the Eretz Yisrael or the family, as my brother described, in the Chesed, in the Torah and the family, as I'll talk about, in all the Sfarim that my brother Avi spoke about, that there's so much that he was able to experience things authentically, powerfully, and with a real sense of appreciation of what things were really going on. When it came to family, my father always gave us the impression, and I believe felt it deeply, that he was privileged to have us in our lives, that he deserved and was worthy, quote-unquote, of nothing, and that all he had was a tremendous zechus, a merit, that he had to be married to my mother, to have us as children. He so much enjoyed the experiences. Some of the experiences, which for some of us would be somewhat challenging, but for him were so, so powerful. My brother spoke about the picking us up twice a week for 4 years of high school. He drove from Connecticut with my mother, we'll speak about that in a minute, all the way to Teaneck to drop me back to New Rochelle, and he never complained about it. I never heard him whine about it. I never heard him utter anything other than the pleasure of sending kids to Jewish schools. The fact that they were extracurricular activities was a wonderful thing. He was a big believer in culture. And the time we spent together, honestly, some of the most powerful memories I have of my father were sitting in those car rides, having conversations on the way back. And what a beautiful way that to have experienced it. My family and I often go to North America for a week or two in the summer. About 4 years ago, I wasn't able to go for work reasons. So my wife and three children at the time were going to go to Montreal for about a week and a half. I mentioned to my parents that my wife, Alana, was a bit nervous. She was pregnant with number four, going to be flying back by herself. She was somewhat hesitant about how she was going to pull it off. No problem, said my parents. My father, my family went to my parents for Shabbos. My father, his late 60s at the time, flew back with my wife and three kids. He got to Eretz Yisrael. He did not leave the airport. He got on a plane right back and flew back just to make it nicer and more pleasant for her. I had a hard time convincing him to let me bring him food in the airport, just something to make it a little bit smoother. But for him, he always did it in a way in which he gave us the feeling that we were doing him a favor. And if you look at it the right way, with deeper eyes, in an authentic way, my father would say, it's 11 or 12 hours with my grandkids, just spending time with them. What's more beautiful and special than that? And it's 10 or 11 hours on the way back, sitting there, and I can sit there calmly and have Sfarim, and I can learn, and I can sleep, and I can rest. Why wouldn't I do this? What wouldn't motivate me to spend time like that? So, so beautiful. My brother Gershon and I were joking a lot. I don't know if Avi, I didn't check with him if he had similar experiences. My parents did everything together. Literally, like, everything. So I remember when they would go to the pharmacy together, they would go shopping together, small errands, they would do everything together. So when I first got married, again, at least one of my brothers, I imagine both of us had similar experiences. I was married for a couple days or so. We needed to get milk from, like, the mini market nearby. So I said to Alana, okay, let's get milk. And she said, okay, you can go get milk. And I said, let's, you know, together. And she said, why would we be going together downstairs to buy milk? And I said, because we're married. The married people do. And then I didn't know that that's not true, apparently. Not everyone does that. Still, until this day, it's a habit of mine. If I have to go to the Makolet nearby, I'll always say to Alana, you want to come to the Makolet with me? And at this point, the look is less one of bewilderment, but it's something which is very powerful because my father perceived that event for what it was. It wasn't the nuisance of going to a pharmacy. It was the opportunity to spend time with his Eishes Chayil, to spend time with my mother, And what's better than that? What's better than that? And that in and of itself was so important. One of the more challenging parts of all of this, at least for me, is my father was certainly, for us, for the grandchildren, for my mother, our biggest fan. To give us a sense of self-confidence, that everything we did was going to be good. If we would mess up, I remember saying this during the Shiva, the Gemara in Sota says, "Ein adam chote ela im kein nichnas bo ruach shtus." That people only sin if there's some sort of like external force that somehow convinces them to do so. My father believed that with all of us. If we would mess up, it was something external that was never who we. It was never who we were. To paraphrase about a certain wonderful educator, my father didn't just believe that all of us were, that all of us in the family could be great. He believed that we were great. And that feeling was a very powerful one that was there. With grandchildren, one of the hardest things for me about his patira, undoubtedly one of the hardest things, is my children not having that voice in their lives of the person that no matter what just deeply believes in them and loves them and all circumstances. Nothing could ever move him in that way. He just loved them so much in such powerful ways. My brother told me that one time he's spending the summer in Camp Morasha, and my father drove up to Morasha because he'd always drive up if it was helpful at all. He drove up my brother's two oldest kids when they must have been, I don't know, 4 and 6 years old. And he finally gets to Morasha from New Rochelle, a couple hour ride, and he sees that there are, my brother, when they come in, sees there are pretzels all over the car. So he says to his kids, he says, what happened? And they said, we were bored, so we wanted to have a good time. So we were throwing pretzels all over the car. So he says, and what did Saba say? And he said, Saba said with a smile, I guess it's raining pretzels. He experienced it with a certain kind of joy and power and beauty. That's what it was. It was raining pretzels. It wasn't his car getting messy. It was the opportunity to spend time with them. My father, in later years, would often listen to the shiurim I posted online. Whether the shiur was good or not, I would often get, you know, messages from my father. It could have been a legitimately not good shiur. You know, Pidyon Meiser Sheni, part 9, is not the most riveting topic. You know, and I would have a message from my father. That shiur was phenomenal. The best shiur I've ever heard in my life. I don't know why it's not featured permanently on the homepage. You know, those kinds of like, just, and to lose that fan is something which is so difficult and so hard, I know, for me, and I'm sure as well, for my brothers and for our wives and for my mother and for our grandchildren and for his grandchildren. So powerful and so real. My father had a very beautiful relationship with Torah. He loved it. He always perceived it as being a privilege. It was never a burden. He saw it for what it really was, a great opportunity. He saw it as beautiful, all of it, all the time. He loved classic Sfarim, like Chumash and Mishnah and Gemara. He loved it. He loved newer Sfarim. He loved Shvili Pinchas. He loved Rav Rimon's Halacha Sfarim. He loved so many. Every year would be new Sfarim. The Or HaChaim, the Chasam Sofer, the Sfas Emes, the Kli Yakar, the Netziv. He would just delve into those Sfarim and he would live with it in such a powerful, powerful way. He just loved it. He just loved it. Over my life, I remember there being stretches where he was into Gemara, Mishnah, Halacha, Jewish history, grammar, Chassidus, Jewish thought, Chumash, just a range of topics. It was so, so beautiful. And he believed that all people should perceive its beauty. Men, women, adults, children, all should perceive and relate to its beautiful chelek in Torah. I was so struck by, during the Shiva, I had multiple emails from people I was friendly with growing up that are no longer observant. They wrote to me how, you know, your father always gave me a sense of belonging and a warm sense of safety in the world of Orthodoxy. I also had friends who are now community Rabbanim and Rosh Kollel that wrote to me, your father always gave me this wonderful sense of belonging. And I have so much Hakaras HaTov from bringing me in. My father would always buy bar mitzvah boys growing up, always. He'd buy them a mikras gedolos, a chumash, and he would buy them a set of chumash. His logic always was, I remember him telling me, well, if they never get into learning, at least they'll have a Mikras Gedolos and a Mishnayos in their home. And if they do get into learning, so I've helped them begin building their own Sfarim library. I have a friend who told me that his Mikros Gedolos that he uses has been rebound many times. The Mikros Gedolos that my father got him at this point 23 years ago. It continues to be there. That's who he was, and it's what he believed in. I also believe that my father did a lot of things quietly. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, V'hamidu talmidim harbe, that we are charged to have many talmidim, yet many of us don't formally speak in the classroom. My father did teach every Friday for years, a daf yomi shir once a week, but the impact of who his talmidim were, as some explain, V'hamidu talmidim harbe, we all have students, those who witness us, those who see the way we act, those who see us and get moved by it, they are our students. How many people wrote to, I know, my brothers and I, my mother, how their image of my father is with him sitting there, safer in hand, and a big smile. He taught so much to us, to so many, about what it means to be excited and joyful about Torah. What a beautiful thing as far as that element of Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. My father also had these hanhagas, these things he did that no one ever spoke about outside the house. He was up every morning, 4:30, 5 in the morning, he was up learning. My brothers and I have all said, we don't remember waking up in the morning and my father was not already up learning. For years, my father would wake up in the middle of the night on Friday night, take a little bit of cake, good drink, and sit and learn for an hour or so in the middle of the night. And no one knew that. No one was aware of that. I didn't know until I heard from someone that knew my father from years ago. I didn't even pick up on it until I said it. Years before there were apps on the phone where you could learn with things like that. My father had a copy of Misiel's Yesharim on the dashboard in his car because you never know when you're going to have a few minutes. Those hanhagas were done privately with no one ever knowing about it other than maybe the family. But now, v'hamidu talmidim harbe, so many of us can be moved and inspired by his love of Sfarim. I said to my wife earlier today that as a teacher, so much of what I try to do is to give over that sense of joy, the beauty, and the breath of Torah, which my father gave all of us. That infectious love of Sfarim. I joke all the time, like, you couldn't grow up in our home and not be really into books and Sfarim. It wasn't a possibility. To try to give that over, that love, that passion for its beauty and for its breath, is something which is so, so meaningful. If we spoke about family and Torah, so when the two converge, there's nothing like it. What the Shabbos table was like, with my father asking questions, whatever he learned during the week that was interesting and engaging, to try to engage the table. My mother always going toe-to-toe with my father in the Torah discussions. Asrei Ayin, it was such a beautiful thing to be able to see. My mother's even asked people if they can, if they're able to, that in the learning they do throughout the week, to bring that into their Shabbos table. What a beautiful thing that we had growing up, of the Torah that he had. But the highlight for him, for us, was to go Sfarim shopping with him. To go there, he would always pressure me to let him buy me Sfarim. That was like the best thing. And if I ever convinced him years ago to pick up a set of Sfarim, a Hay Makdavar on Chumash, he bought it. For years, my father, until he passed away, would still always come back to the sense of gratitude he had for the fact that I convinced him that with his money, he should go and buy a particular set of Sfarim. It was so beautiful and so powerful, and with grandchildren, it was all the more special to see him with his grandchildren in shul, to see him with his grandchildren hanging out on the couch. But what must have been a real highlight of his life, to be able to learn and spend time with them, with all of us. The loss we have is big. It's very, very big. It's hard to, at least for me, to wrap my head around. I'm comforted by the fact that I know that there is this sense of value, the values, the ideals, all that he stood for, we have and we know. And that idea of being able to appreciate moments with children, with grandchildren, with friends and with family, and to embrace those moments and to perceive them for what they are, blessings in our lives. Powerful, and that demus diukno shel avi, that image in his head of the no seina Torah, that the Ribono shel Olam, we're still getting and we're receiving, and I carry it with me, and all the I can't give a shiur nowadays and not at some point in my mind something about my father and the Torah I'm sharing or the sefer I'm using just comes in and hits me. I can't sit at the Shabbos table, make havdalah or say kiddush. Him to feel like no sein haTorah, he's very much here in very real ways. But he's also not, and the loss is something which is so great. And the Ribono shel Olam should bless us with the ability to continue to learn from him and to continue to have his image, the demus diukno shel avi, for all of us, carrying us through day by day in our journey to learn from him and to grow from him in as special a way as we possibly can.